Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
Yo, what's poppin'? Zigga zigga za. It's the 8th of September 2015. It's part 2 of Kelman on Cliff Central. We call this year part the Millennial Zeitgeist. Yes, it's a fancy word, but it's a word that fits what we get up to. By the way, what we get up to is take a look at what is trending worldwide right now. We're also going to touch base with I don't even know where to start with Kelly Youngs. She's an Emmy-nominated executive producer. She's done so many things. She's just next-level cool, and we're going to profile her. She's done very cool things, you know. Like, once, she was the senior producer at CNN International's London Bureau before moving back home to North Florida. I mean, what did you do today? She's done that, so we're going to touch base with her story and find out a little bit more about her. Live from where in the world are we speaking to her from, producer Kat?
She's in the United States of America.
Whereabouts there?
Where did she say Kunj? It's in his jail. I'll tell you now.
Okay,
just,
there you go.
Let me just.
By the way, hey, what's up? What's happening, producer Kat?
Again.
Yeah.
Hello.
You, anything changed in the past hour with you?
Yeah, my bestie's here, Sia.
Oh, Sia Sangweni Finn.
Yeah, I like learned
from
Sia.
From the Gareth Cliff show. Sia Sangweni Finn's cool.
From
Untapped Talent. Yes. That's his other show. Let's say hello, yo, what's happening to Jonna Sinclair?
Hello.
And now we can ask the question of the day. Today's question of the day, which Dana Jacobs is going to help us answer. Am I making excuses for being an asshole? Jonna?
I'm pretty upfront about it.
You just are?
Yeah.
Okay, producer Kat, would you say you're an asshole?
Sometimes. Me and Sia, we asshole together.
Yeah, they gang up. They're like pack animals.
Well, as long as it's gang up and not gang... Yeah, that escalated real quick. All right, everything trending in the world right now on the other side of 4 seconds. Hellman on CliffCentral.com. Damn it, I just have to find him. He always goes missing. You know, you just can't keep him in one place at one time. Oh, there he is. Yo, JB, help me out. All around the world, people want to be loved. Do, 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 do. There you go. Let's take a look at everything trending worldwide right now. Trending worldwide, hashtag 1 year since Fireproof. Now, just instantaneously, what do you think this is referring to, producer Kat?
Fireproof.
Yeah, 1 year since Fireproof.
That's, is that a movie?
I'm not going to tell you.
Does it have something to do with Nkanda?
Trending worldwide. I don't know so much. Jono, any guesses why 1 year since Fireproof would be trending?
It's been 1 year since the boys released Fireproof.
Oh, you're so smart. You looked it up. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You're so smart. Look at you. We'll give you a pat on the back. Well, raise your right hand. Okay. Now put a now pat yourself on the back. There you go. Nice one. Well done. So let's get our hunky boys trending should be the official slogan for the One Direction fandom. Today, fans of the boy band are celebrating 1 year since the group dropped this song, which I don't even remember them dropping. Yeah, sorry, Justin was a little upset there, and he kind of tried to steal the spotlight. But yeah, it was this song, right? I don't remember that song. It's been 1 year since the group released Fireproof, the first single from their sophomore album, 4. The name of this album was obviously a hint at Zayn Malik's departure. I mean, the thing was called 4, after all. Anyways, One Direction fans are using emoticons and GIFs to express their shock, horror, and gasps, saying, "It feels like just yesterday. Yesterday, when the song was released for free download." Jono, did you like that song from them, Fireproof?
Well, it's ironic that the words say... It says something about nobody knows about it. Just play it again.
Hang on, let me find it here. There you go. Nobody
knows you, baby. Just like the song, nobody knows it.
Nobody knows it. There you go. Okay, so that's trending. Also trending worldwide, Sam Smith. In other trending worldwide news is Sam Smith after he announced on Instagram that he'd recorded a song for the 24th James Bond movie Spectre. I'm saying it right. It's not like Specker. Spectre. Mm. It is right. Producer Kat, it is Spectre, right?
Spectre. Sally Spectre.
S-P-E-C-R-T-E.
From Days of Our Lives. I mean,
Sally Spectre.
From The Bold.
Sally, yeah.
You know she died, right?
Yeah, she
died. Who died?
Sally Spectre.
Who was Sally Spectre?
In real life. The fat one with the red hair.
And she was...
What are you talking about?
Didn't you know Sally Spectra?
The woman who played Sally Spectra,
she was Macy's mom. And Macy was married to Thorn. Thorn is the son of Rich
Forrester.
I don't
know. He doesn't know the struggle of the
bald
and the beautiful.
What the hell are you talking about? The bald and the beautiful.
Sally Spectra. She died a few years ago. She owned a fashion house.
Okay, I'm talking about James Bond now, though. Okay, you know, you get me so confused, and half the time I actually have no idea. What do you mean?
Yo. When you nod your head yes, but you want to say no, what do you mean?
Look at you. You've changed your tune, Producer Catch.
No, I'm trying to make it ghetto so I can enjoy it.
No, that song is catchy now.
Oh, it is such a good song.
No, it's not such a good song.
Do you think it's a good song? You think it's a good song, Jonah?
No, this is a trap. I'm not commenting.
I don't quite understand what you're trying to say by that. You think it's a good song? What are you
going to say? Oh, wow. He performed this horribly at the VMA, by the way.
Thanks. Bye.
And then he still cried.
Yeah, it was emotional for him. You've never seen somebody cry
Maybe
before.
Maybe he cried because his performance was so bad.
You heartless, evil people. I don't want to talk to them anymore. Anyway, I was at Sam Smith. So Sam Smith has announced that he's recorded a song for the 24th James Bond movie, Spectre. The song is called Writings on the Wall. It was written by Sam Smith and Jimmy Napes, who co-wrote, Oh, Won't You Stay With Me, Because You're Smith, who initially denied reports he was recording a song for the film, told Instagram followers that this is one of the highlights of his career, that and losing so much weight recently. He wrote, I hope you will enjoy the song as much as I enjoyed making it. The song will be made available for purchase and streaming later this month ahead of the Bond movie release on the 26th of October in the UK and the 6th of November in the US. Yes, a new Bond movie this year. Yeah. In news to use or lose, this is the first Bond theme song to be recorded by a British male solo artist since 1965.
So they've been using women.
They've been using, and women have been doing a good job. I mean, Adele, you really outdid yourself on this. If this guy falls, as we crumble, we stand tall. Such a good song. Women have been killing this thing. Remember this one? That's Madonna, Die Another Day. You never heard Die Another Day?
Me?
Yeah. You just said, what the hell is
die
this?
Die another day, yeah. You got to die.
No. I just played the song. Day. That is not how it goes.
Ah, you have the fake one.
Do you at least remember this one?
Yeah, but like I said earlier, I've never seen a James Bond movie.
Oh,
it's like Star Wars and all that other rubbish. I don't watch that.
How are you a living human being?
I think there's like 25 of them.
How many years have you failed at life now by not having seen a James Bond movie?
Me, I watch Fighting
Temptations. 26 years. 26. Not even what? Not even like when they're running on ETV on a Sunday night.
I don't watch ETV. I can DSTV.
Afford
DSTV.
Oh my god.
She doesn't drink Oros. So
you didn't know any of the James Bond songs?
I know them, but I've never seen the movie.
I bet when there's a black James Bond, she's going to watch.
I cannot believe that you have not seen a single James... Tell me that in a sentence. I've never seen a James Bond movie.
I never seen a movie like James Bond. What do you mean?
When you nod your head yes, but you want to say no, what do you mean? There you go. Also trending worldwide right now, hashtag 21 years of Dallas. So I got really excited when I saw this was trending. Immediately I downloaded this. Because I thought that they were referring to the TV show Dallas. Nuh-uh. They're not. My bad. 21 Years of Dallas is trending in the US and it has nothing to do with Dallas, the TV series. YouTube sensation Cameron Dallas turns 21 years old today and is being showered with internet love. He's got over 3.8 million YouTube subscribers. Producer Cat, that's 3.8 million more than you.
Sorry.
That means that 3.8 million people care about what he eats for breakfast and what he does with his friends all day long. And these are not just passive people. They send stacks and stacks of fan mail to his house. Happy 21st birthday, Cameron. And have a good first legal drink, because that's the legal drinking age in America. Do you remember your first drink, Jono?
Yes.
Well, like 7, 8?
Yeah, sips of drink around about that age.
Producer Kat, do you remember your first drink?
Of course I do.
How old were you?
I was probably 12.
Producer Kat.
Sia's acting shocked.
Who's? Oh, Sia's here as well.
Yeah.
He's lurking in the corners.
He's right here next to me.
Sia's like 7 years old himself. Is he even allowed to drink yet, Sia Sanguinifin?
Yes, he is. Hey, Sia. My first drink was at my aunt's wedding. I was a Stroy Macy, and the drink was hooch, and it was really good.
Hooch?
Remember hooch?
Yeah.
What those were like all of our first drinks, I think.
Peach flavored.
It's kind of like Bacardi Breezer.
Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a good name for an alcoholic beverage, hooch. Just doesn't.
And then my second drink was Jack Daniel's with appetizer, which my mom made for me.
That's really acceptable. That's acceptable.
I was an 18, though. Don't begin to twist it, brother.
And then did you go to school the next day?
No, it was a weekend. It was like a Saturday or a Friday. Chillas nyana at my house.
Okay, nice. Okay, so Cameron Dallas have a really dope first drink there. Also trending worldwide, hashtag my five-word confession. Over in America, tweeps are feeling burdened and making five-worded confessions. My five-word confession is trending only 7 days after hashtag confession night trended. So there you go. Maybe someone needs to tell the people of America that diaries and church confession booths were made primarily for this purpose. You don't necessarily have to put it out on Twitter. But we will use Twitter as a form of therapy because it is there, and maybe that's, you know, an easy way for people to connect. Producer Kat, any five-word confessions before I get into some of the funny tweets?
I did not.
That's three.
Sleep.
With, okay.
Correctly.
What do you mean? When you nod your head yes, but you wanna say no.
Okay.
I didn't wash my car.
I didn't wash my car. That's a five. I don't know if why you're confessing that. I don't know if that's
because it's been like 6 months.
Okay. Well, no one was necessarily saying that you were lying about that because you can see the state of the car.
Sawa and Sia, maybe.
Okay.
Just
refer to people that we have no idea who they are. That's great. Jono, five-word confessions.
I use tears as lubricant.
Yo!
I use tears as... Wow. Jono says this, by the way, the kids in the room next
door. I don't know what to do.
Wow, that's a lot.
You wanted a confession.
Wow, okay.
What do you mean? Oh, when you nod your head yes, but you want to say no, what do you mean?
Okay. Huh? What's... you see, this,
you see, now I have to explain myself.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Oh no.
Okay. We're at @nin_nub says hashtag my five-word confession, pants are the real terrorists. Yeah, I don't think we should wear pants either in life.
I'm already being judged.
Well, you really went in hard. I mean, these Twitter ones didn't even go in as hard as
you did.
Well,
don't ask me to confess things if you can handle
the
truth.
Well, just control yourself when there's children in the room.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Jeez. At 9589 Smith, my five-word confession, I never let them finish. Insert picture of Kanye.
I think I get it.
Just keep quiet there. At Shut Up Amanda says, my five-word confession, I need Urban Dictionary often. My five-word confession, Trump doesn't seem so bad.
You know, that's a cheer. Sometimes.
Oh, no. Then this is a funny one. At Darkside Deb, hashtag my five-word confession, I listen to Nickelback uncoerced. Oof, you should never
admit
that.
You should keep that
private. Yeah. At Nickelback. Remember they sang that song, never made it as a wise man.
Yeah.
I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. I died a little like a blind man.
You know we have a guest way too.
And how you remind me of what I really... At Don2020_Don said, I make calls while pooping. Hashtag my five-word confession.
I think a lot of people can relate.
That says popping, not pooping.
No, it says, well, what, popping what? I make calls while popping, like pills.
Maybe. Purple one.
I think it's by pooping. I think they made a mistake.
Have you ever
there.
Been speaking to someone in the bathroom and they're like, are you in the bathroom? Then you must just say, no, I'm in the bath. Meanwhile,
no, I don't.
You're not.
Next!
Okay, trending worldwide, hashtag dog someone. I don't know if this was a thing everywhere, but in high school, when you dog someone, it meant that you were denying them of something. Ring a bell?
Never used that in my life.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay. For example, why are you dogging me was the perfect response to answers like this. No, I will not go out on a date with you. Or, no, I will not share my food with you. Why are you dogging me, yo? On Twitter, however, hashtag dog someone has taken on a whole new meaning. Tweeps are using the hashtag #dogsomeone to give some of their favorite and most hated celebs characteristics of man's best friend. Here are some clever-ish tweets. At Dell Girls Hoops says, Justin Retriever, hashtag dog someone. I mean, really?
Oh, that's funny.
What do you mean?
At Liao Liao Lu says, hashtag dog someone, Great Dane Cook. Yeah, because that's Dane Cook, the actor. At Ms. K. Murphy, hashtag dog someone, the Kardashians. Like Dashians?
Kardashians.
Okay. tricky. This is really funny. At Kesha Tedder, hashtag dog someone, LL Drool J.
That's my favorite.
That's... and then Craig Flynn won Mick Wagger. People are so funny on these Twitter streets. They really are. Do you have any to add to that, Jonna?
No, I can't compete with that.
Nothing. Producer Cat? Oh, shit, I haven't turned your mic on. Let me just turn your mic on real quick. Okay, give me your comment.
Who let the dogs out?
There you go.
Funny.
That is the child in the room next door that John has been making all these inappropriate comments around. Okay. What are you saying?
Yeah.
Huh?
I was just saying Kelly's on the line.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Mm. Kelly Youngs.
Yeah, she's a joke.
Whereabouts in America are we speaking to her from?
She's in Florida.
Florida.
Apparently. She's in Florida.
I should write that down. I do have that apparently audio clip, but I just can't find it anywhere.
Me and Kat can do it for free.
Okay, do it for free. Give me a apparently.
Killing Youngs is on the line. Apparently.
Jonna, you sound almost as good as that 4-year-old that did it on the Ellen DeGeneres show, but keep practicing and you might get there one day.
Yay.
Okay, let's touch base with Kelly Youngs live from Florida on the other side of 4 seconds.
Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
There you go. And here she is, Kelly Youngs. How's it going?
Hey, I'm great. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on.
Such a pleasure. I mean, I was thinking, what can I do on a Tuesday afternoon Central African time? And then it occurred to me that what I can do is speak to an Emmy-nominated executive producer. Why would I not want to do that?
Oh, well, I'm glad you decided to.
Absolutely. Listen, it's very difficult for me to even introduce you because of the extent of your career and how much stuff that you've done. We'll kick it off with three words, though. She is fierce.
Yes, well, I hope you can say that about me, but I know I can say that about so many women that are a part of She Is Fierce and what we're doing.
Let's talk about some of your background and then get into She Is Fierce and what you're doing. An unbelievable career. You held the position of senior producer at CNN International's London Bureau. You then headed back to North Florida at one point in your career. You've worked as a product development manager at Sky Broadcasting in the UK, as the online manager for BBC's documentary series Long Way Down. You are... according to me, I think maybe in a little bit of a relationship with media.
Yes, I think so. And I actually have to say that one of my best experiences, in all honesty, has been the time when with Long Way Down with Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman, I went down to Cape Town.
Cool.
And we had an amazing time. That was honestly one of the highlights of my career so far.
Where did you grow up, Kelly?
I grew up in Florida, but my husband is British, so we lived in London for quite a while, and I dragged him back here when we were going to have kids.
tell me, what kind of kid were you? Were you that kid that sort of watched TV and just took it a little bit more seriously than the other kids? You used to sit and watch the end credits before running outside or going on to your next activity. Were you fascinated by sets and that kind of thing?
To be honest, not really. I think I don't see media as the world of media and the glamour of media, because I think it's not, as you guys know, it's not as glamorous as it seems. I really love all of the things that you can do with media and how you can reach people that you would never have a chance to reach out to if you didn't have these outlets.
So what were the telltale signs for you as a kid that kind of might have indicated that this would be you in 2015?
Oh, gosh. Well, if as a kid, I don't know. Maybe in high school and in university, I think I always had a passion for journalism, telling stories, you know, like the political side of things, and really kind of getting to the heart of what's going on around me and what's going on in the world. So I think that was the impetus for how I got into media, but my career has gone in all kinds of different directions since then. So I'm not sure I could look back and say that there was anything in particular that took me where I am.
One of the fundamentals, though, is this ability to tell stories. You're a storyteller. And how does one get better at that craft of telling stories?
Oh, I think you get better at telling stories by listening. Mm. I mean, I think everybody says this. You're a better actor. You're a better business person. But I think it is really just by listening, because we all want to tell a story. We all want to be great writers. We all want to produce great video or great radio shows. But the way that I have found that I can be successful is to really highlight the best in other people and to really listen to what they have to say and make that the central feature.
So that's an interesting statement in a day and age where we've got governments who are saying that, you know, they're going to ban selfies in certain countries because people are falling off cliffs and that kind of thing, because we've become incredibly self-obsessed and perhaps lost the ability to a certain extent, or are further losing the ability to listen to other people because we think our voice is the most important voice.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And one of the things that I do now is I teach at the local university where I live. And I think that while I see that there absolutely that selfie culture exists and it's out there, I think there's also a much deeper underlying sensitivity that that generation has, that we need to kind of give them outlets to grow that.
So tell me about what you feel is your most important work now. I mean, obviously it's changed over the past few years and it's evolved, but what is the most important work to you now? What is it that you want to be known for in 2015?
Well, that is an easy one for me to answer, because really I'm so ecstatically excited about She Is Fierce and everything that we've been doing. So basically, it's a website, it's a speaker series, and now it's going to be a membership community where we are really featuring and highlighting impressive, fierce women. And it comes from the quote, the Shakespeare quote, "Though she be but little, she is fierce." And the way that I take that isn't, you know, little in stature, but the idea that, in kind of to your point earlier, in life, we're all little in the big scheme of things. Mm. But if we stand up and if we behave as though we're fierce, we can really make things happen. So I think we highlight those impressive women, we give them a stage and a platform. And with our membership community that's opening soon, we're actually going to give the tools that you need to get there. Because I know so many people, and I know for me as well, it's so true. We all have these big ambitions, we all have big dreams, but sometimes you just need all the really boring practical stuff that's going to get you there.
Tell me what you are learning as a woman about women in creating a platform like She Is Fierce that's surprising you.
I think the thing that is most surprising, I don't know if surprising is the right word, but has stood out for me the most, is that the overwhelming response has been women saying how happy they are that it's an outlet and a speaker series that that really celebrates women coming together, and there's not a sense of competition. It's all about everybody supporting one another. Mm. And to be honest, that I obviously that's what I had in mind, and that's the direction that I was going in, but I never even really thought that through. I never thought, okay, let me highlight the fact that we're celebrating each other. And that is the response. I mean, that's what everybody says first, that they're moved by. So that has been surprising to me.
It's interesting, just in part one of the show we were speaking about, we're still speaking about it, because the press is still making a big deal about, I don't know if you saw at the Video Music Awards, as Nicki Minaj was accepting her award, she threw a comment to Miley Cyrus, sort of knocking her and what she'd been saying about her in the press, and it was these two iconic women on this iconic stage, sort of fighting and airing sort of their differences between each other, and a lot of feminists have been very upset by that, because they think it kind of takes back sort of the progression and evolution of women in the 21st century. And so it's interesting that your platform is the exact opposite of that. But when something like that happens, what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think it's sad, but I think we have to put it into context. So it's two women who are in a really cutthroat situation and a cutthroat career. And those are the choices that they're making. And, you know, I would certainly not tell them that they should make those choices. And that's not what I want to put out there. But I think, you know, you also have to take it with a grain of salt. And while I do think it's sad, I think it's important to understand the reasoning behind what they're doing.
So how do you see She Is Fierce sort of fitting into the global landscape in terms of what you really want to achieve? What's the underlying objective here?
Well, so we launched about 8 months ago, and I think now we're about to hit like 50,000 social media followers. Wow. And we're just growing exponentially. So I really am, you know, very ambitious for this service, this product. I want to reach a global audience, which we do already, but I want to grow that audience and really be putting content out there that is positive, that is celebrating women, but also just giving them the tools that they need to get ahead. So it's not necessarily about, you know, talking about how great it is to be a woman, because it's not, we're not man bashing. It's not that kind of thing. It's about giving women the tools to succeed in whatever their definition of success is, whether that's being a mom, whether that's being an entrepreneur or a career woman, whatever it is. And understanding that we can all succeed in our own ways. I definitely think that is the overall where I'm going.
I want to speak about your journey for a second. Obviously, this incredible career behind you, working for institutions like CNN, BBC, NBC, CBS, achieving unbelievable things at all of those organizations. Tell me how it changes when it's your thing.
Oh, it's so much more personal. You know, I mean, I have been very lucky to work on some incredible projects. And certainly had the benefit of having a much bigger budget in the past and being able to, you know, when I worked at CNN, anything I worked on, I knew this is going to, you know, become a huge success just by the nature of being affiliated with CNN. Mm. Whereas, you know, for me working on this, obviously the budget is smaller and the ambition is bigger. But I think it's something special because I feel like we are creating something out of the genuine sense of what She Is Fierce is about. It's not because we're affiliated with something else or because people are buying into it for a certain reason. I think the people who identify with the brand and are excited about what we're doing really love what we're doing. And that's special.
A lot of people listening to this right now might be in a position where they're working a 9-to-5. On paper, they look fantastic, but they've got something they're incredibly passionate about. How do you figure out when it's time to start your own thing and work towards your own dream and leave sort of the security and comfort of something that looks great on paper? And for you, when did that come?
You know, for me, I think this is a story that a lot of women have, but I think for me, it was when I was going to have kids. So I came back to Florida. I was working, I had a production company where we were producing, you know, big shows around the country. And I really am the kind of person, like I always have to be doing something. So I didn't want to stop doing something, but I also knew that I had a lot of different priorities and my priorities were growing, not necessarily changing, but just growing. And then I had more to take care of. Mm. So for me, I think I made a decision. I had this idea for She Is Fierce in my mind for years and years and years. And to your point, I never did it because I thought, well, I'm not going to make enough money. Well, you know, it's a challenge. And what if it doesn't go right? And I think having kids, even though it sounds weird, made it simple for me because I thought, well, I'll just do it. And if it fails, you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever. And I think that's, you kind of have to get to that place where you are so excited and so passionate about something that you're okay with the fact that you might not look great all the time. And that, you know, when you're first growing it, people in your family and your friends are going to look at you and go, what is this person doing? Mm-hmm. But you kind of have to get to that point where you're just excited and passionate about what you're doing and you have to start. I think that's the hardest part is just getting it out there and starting.
So She Is Fierce, HQ.com obviously operates in a very digital space. It wouldn't be able to exist sort of 20 years ago in this kind of digital space because this kind of digital space didn't exist 20 years ago. Tell me about what your take is on being alive in 2015 and what the pros are of living in such a connected world because of the internet.
Oh, I mean, I feel so blessed and lucky to have access. I mean, One of the other reasons that I was able to start this is kind of a backward reason where I moved back to what is really a very small city. And for me, because all of my background is with big broadcast networks, if I want to get another job, that's really where I need to be. I need to be in a really big city. And I knew we wanted to live here for a little while. And I was kind of like, what am I going to do with myself? What jobs am I going to do here? And when I realized that I had this outlet that was sitting in my own house that I could take advantage of, it was groundbreaking and made a big change for me to realize that instead of having to just focus on a local community, which is a wonderful thing to do, but I had the opportunity to access and reach women who are genuinely on the other side of the world.
Mm. A lot of people, they hear that and this idea of working from anywhere, and for a lot of people, it kind of makes them lazy because it comes with a lot of responsibility that when you are a self-starter, you have to self-motivate, you have to get out there, you have to do it. Do you tap into anything specific to get you up in the morning to pursue this project, which is your own project that you're getting other people to collaborate with you on, or is it just the right time and the right place in your life?
I think you have to be doing something that you're really passionate about. And I don't think it has to be your one true passion in life, but I think it does have to be something that really motivates you beyond just a financial motivation. Because, you know, I have that too. If I'm working on a project I really don't care about, it's easy for me to say, oh, I'll just do that later. But I feel, you know, incredibly passionate about what I'm doing. And I feel like every day we're moving forward. And so that keeps me going. I mean, motivation isn't even an issue for me right now because I'm just excited about what we're doing.
It's a very exciting time to be you. And it's very cool sort of just on paper looking at this evolution of you. And you speak with so much passion about what you do. But it's interesting that you have put in the groundwork working for other organizations. But it's great that, you know, the story kind of ends. Well, it doesn't end. The story takes a different narrative with you doing your own thing. That's very cool.
Thank you. Well, I'm excited. I mean, I think it's something that I had in my mind for a long time, but I didn't necessarily see how I could do it on my own. And I think, like I said, it's just getting started. You just have to put it out there into the world, and then all of the different paths sort of present themselves to you.
Very, very cool. Kelly, how do we keep up with you all day and watch the story as it evolves?
Well, you can find me obviously on Twitter and Facebook and all of that, but to go to the site, it's sheisfiercehq.com. So sheisfiercehq.com. And to become a member of the site, you just go there and click on become a member. And we just launched it. Our enrollment closes September 27th. We have incredible stuff going on. We have contributors from 3 different continents. Wow. And I know that's going to grow as we grow. So I'm very excited about it.
Fantastic. That's a Kelly Youngs there, live from Florida, the founder of She Is Fierce. Kelly, thanks so much for hanging out.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
At iStore, we love Apple stuff, but we're only human. Sometimes we drop our iPhones on the road, face down, and it makes us sad. That's why we came up with iCare Plus, a nifty little product exclusive to iStore for when stupid things happen to good people with awesome phones. It'll have your beloved iPhone covered for water, screen, and physical damage. So come to iStore. Why would you go anywhere else? Visit myistore.co.za for more info. T's and C's apply.
I am the future of South Africa. On my shoulders, I carry the hopes and dreams of generations to come. I'm eager to learn, but even more eager to use my knowledge for good. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye Gold, we believe our youth is worth its weight in gold, which is why we are so committed to developing, nurturing, and grooming our young people into future leaders. Sibanye Gold, we are one.
Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
Right then, Producer Kat, you came across an article. Tell me about this article you found.
I found it on Thought Catalog.
Yeah, what's it about?
It's about people who have anxiety.
Okay.
And there's a child in the room next to me. So apparently people who have anxiety come across as a-holes sometimes.
Oh, no, that's not very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are we asking here? What's the question of the day today?
Let me just go to my content. I can't remember.
It's because there's a kid in the room next door.
No, he's right here.
Yeah, I know, but that's why you can't say the word. It just, yeah.
Your anxiety. So the title of the article is "Your anxiety isn't an excuse to be an a-hole." So the question we are asking today is, am I making excuses for being an a-hole?
Okay. Yes. And who's going to help us answer this question of the day?
Of course, Donna Jacobs.
There you go.
The Don.
What's happening, the Don, Donna Jacobs? How are you?
Good, and you, guys?
Good, what's good. Happening? So we got to get this question of the day here. The question of the day, am I making excuses for being an asshole? You read the piece. What was your initial thought, Donna?
Well, firstly, I'm glad that we can actually say the word asshole, because Kat was being all polite with a-hole. Like, come on, we're on Unradio. We can do what we like, right?
You know, she's only doing it because there's literally a kid in the production studio.
There's literally a kid there. Okay. Is that perhaps making you a bit anxious, Kat?
Is that making you anxious, producer Kat?
I'm just, I don't want to teach the children
bad words. Rude,
yeah.
Okay.
Good for you. Don't be an a-hole.
Okay, so your initial thoughts on this piece, Donna?
Yeah, okay, look, I mean, the article was really well written by a lady who actually does, in fact, suffer from anxiety disorder. And she basically ran us through the entire course of, you know, she used to be an asshole and she got onto medication and she now, you know, she's started to do, you know, exercise and eating plans, and she got a dog, and you know, her whole life has just kind of changed, and she's got a stress-free job, so she can kind of see the rehabilitation of, you know, being an asshole. So she kind of came out of it, and now she's written this interesting article about, you know, if you suffer from a disorder like that, can you get away with it? Can you be an asshole like that?
I wonder if
of course she says no.
Yeah, but do you think that there are any excuses one could make for being an asshole? I mean, like if your dog died yesterday, God forbid, would you be allowed to blame that for the reason that you're being a bit of a douchebag on a certain day? Do you think there's anything we can let people get away with?
Absolutely not. I think there's absolutely zero excuse to be an asshole. I mean, there's so many assholes around us every day, and it's just quite sickening. There's just, like, mean people around us. Like, just, you know, there's really no excuse. And if you can kind of empathize with people, you know, yes, if your dog has died, of course, like, that's a situation that, you know, a lot of people do face. There are things, anxious situations that we're dealing with all the time. But there's no reason to be an asshole about it. You know, you just kind of reflect on the situation and kind of trigger other people's sensitivities and emotions and kind of connect that way rather than, you know, being an asshole.
How do you take that feedback if someone says that you've been a bit of a mean person or you've been a bit of an asshole?
Well, you know what? I'm an angel myself. I've never been an asshole, so I don't know.
But you must have heard people say that about you, because no matter, even if you're Mother Teresa, people often like to throw that word around.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there are different perceptions of people, and of course, I find a lot of the time it's their projections, which means that whatever they're going through, they kind of project it onto others, which kind of ties back to the whole anxiety thing. So if you're anxious, or if you have a phobia of something, or if you have a social inadequacy, you're projecting it onto others. And it just, yeah, it's quite a complicated situation. But yeah, I think it's happened to everyone.
So I wonder how one even establishes whether one is a bit of a douchebag by nature. How do you think that's a very honest conversation you have to have.
Yeah, I mean, of course, like the whole article, like it's, you know, there's two parts to it. It's like, how do you know if you suffer from the anxiety disorder itself? Because a lot of us suffer from anxiety. And what actually constitutes being an asshole? Because, of course, there are different levels to being an asshole. You know, like, firstly, if you're aware of the person, if you're aware that the person has an actual disorder, you might have a little bit more leniency towards them. If you don't know, like, you could probably message that person and they don't get back to you, and you're like, oh, you know, what an asshole. How can they not respond to me? Meanwhile, like, days later, they'd probably be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was just, like, locked up in my apartment. I wasn't in the right headspace.
Crying, yeah.
You know, if they suffer from a social anxiety, they, you know, you avoid those types of situations. You avoid people. It's, you know, there's a whole lot of levels to this.
Yeah, it is a bit of a tricky one. But what do you think we should be looking at in terms of getting less assholes in the world? Is there a way to do this? Because one's always going to find something to blame it on. Like if I got out on the wrong side of bed, I can say I got out on the wrong side of bed. So when do we have to start drawing that line in terms of overall responsibility? Are you a nice person? Are you a bad person? Are you an asshole or not?
Yeah, look, if you suffer from asshole personality disorder, that's just a bad character flaw. So stop that. And a lot of human beings do suffer from that. But I think if you're hiding behind the fact that you're dealing with a problem or you have this disease, or, you know, if you're hiding behind that and making an excuse to be an asshole, I think that's an incorrect way to deal with it, because you're kind of deflecting from the situation. You're not looking inside like this lady did. She looked inside. She saw that she was losing her friends. She lost her boyfriend over this. You know, she was just a mean person, using all her friends as an emotional punching bag. You know, like you can't really do that. And you can't expect people to stick around and hang by your side. So you've got to kind of reflect internally and, you know, kind of obviously, like, you've got to seek therapy. You know, that's obviously step one. And perhaps get some drugs for that.
as I choke and die here, I'm such an asshole. this idea, though, of being honest with oneself, it's very, very difficult to get that right.
Of course.
And having an honest conversation. And what's so interesting is very often you can pick it out in other people what they're not being honest with themselves about. But when you have to have that conversation with yourself, it's a hell of a lot harder.
It is. It's very difficult, especially like if it's something like this. This is quite a serious issue. Like if you're dealing with this kind of disorder, like, you know, I mean, the whole mental disorder thing, like it's very biological. I mean, you can't really control it, and you don't know if it's that bad. You know, there's obviously different levels to it. There's normal anxiety, but then there's, you know, the biological or brain. It's got to do with, like, brain chemistry. That's what they've kind of written here, you know, in psychological cases. But, you know, you've got to learn how to draw the line. And, of course, like, it's really hard. You don't know if it's normal to be that anxious about situations or, you know, how to deal with it. It's a tough one.
Final take. Am I making excuses for being an asshole? Just before we get yours done, Kat, producer Kat, am I making excuses for being an asshole?
You mean you personally?
No, you.
Ari, I'm not an asshole.
Okay, so that's your answer.
I beg to differ.
Jono?
please, you're the asshole.
Jono?
I take pride in being an asshole. Gotta own that shit.
Okay.
Hey, Donna.
Well, you definitely got asshole personality disorder there.
And Donna, your final answer to question of the day, am I making excuses for being an asshole?
You know what? Just, guys, don't be an asshole, okay? Bottom line.
Yeah, just be honest with yourself also.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
so,
and
you know, there's a lot of alcohol around. You know, it makes people much nicer. So
I find sometimes when people have too much alcohol, they become bigger assholes.
Yeah, there is. You know what? That is kind of true, hey? I mean, I'm a great person when I've had alcohol. I don't know about you guys.
You become sweeter, but for some people, it's the opposite.
Annoying.
Listen, Dana, thank you so much for helping us answer that question of the day. Listen, look in that mirror and have an honest conversation with yourself. That's all it is. And if you're getting this feedback from lots of people, there's probably truth to it. And the only person that can change that really is you. No one else can change you. You have to make that conscious decision to just be nicer, and maybe people will say that less about you.
Yeah.
Very cool. It's at Dana the Don Jacob on Twitter, yeah?
That's the one, yes.
Super, super cool. We'll touch base with you again next month. That's Dana Jacobs there, helping us answer our question of the day. All right, look at that. It's almost over.
Yeah. Thank God.
What do you mean, thank God?
I'm kidding.
No, don't be like that. I want to get the dude over here.
Pumi-san.
Yeah.
Pumi-san?
Been hanging out.
He has a name.
Your name is Kanejo.
Kanejo, do you want to come into studio here real quick?
You must go around and speak to Ari.
Come around, Kanejo.
He's running.
He's running.
Please remember he is a child.
Pumi, anything we should know just before we touch base with Kanejo?
Oh, it's the last day of holidays. Tomorrow's back to school.
Oh, it's the last day of holidays. Kanejo, how's your stickies collection going, bro? As we pop you onto a microphone there. You got any stickies?
I have Four of them.
Four, yeah.
One of them broke.
Oh, no. Well, how did you break a sticky? I thought they're indestructible.
I was playing with them, and then there was a line, which was a small of three lines.
Yeah.
Small three lines. And then when I played with it again, it snapped straight away.
That's horrible. I'm sorry. We're going to have to take it back to Pick and Pay, dude. What's the coolest thing about you, do you think?
I do think that the thing I like is bikes. That makes
bikes?
Yeah, riding my bicycle.
Oh, cool. You wanna do the Tour de France one day, maybe on a bicycle? Do you take it that seriously?
Not sure then.
How did you learn to ride your bicycle? Who taught you?
My dad and my mom.
How long did you have the training wheels for, dude? Be honest with me here. Let's share.
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
But it was a good feeling when they came off, right? And then you can ride just on two wheels.
Yeah. But I was struggling with my new bike. When I was 5 years old, I got this new bike.
Did it have gears?
No.
Okay. The gears also complicated.
Then,
yeah.
Then I got a new bike on my birthday. I got a new bike. On my next birthday, when I was 27. So then that one has gears.
You've had a lot of bikes, dude. Wow. Yeah.
Yes. I had that red bike since I got my green bike.
Cool.
Before I got that green bike.
Green's way cooler than red, though, I think.
Yeah.
Way cooler.
But I dropped it with my cousin named Naledi. She lives with my sister. But she broke it.
I can't believe Naledi did that.
No, somebody broke it.
Okay.
Some friend of mine in Pimville broke it with, like, riding. We had a race.
Yeah.
And then when we got back up, the back wheel just exploded.
Oh, no, dude. But you're okay now. You got the green bike, so it's okay.
Yeah, but I have to share with her now.
Oh.
Again.
Damn it, Naledi. Listen, dude, you're going back to school tomorrow. Are you excited? How were the holidays?
The holidays were great.
Okay, what was the best part?
The best part is when I got to ride my bike and gone shooting.
Nice.
That's when
Naledi wasn't using the bicycle.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's also when Naledi wasn't using the bike. We should be riding it all the time. And I wrote a book of Natal.
Okay, cool. Now, listen, did you listen to any of our show today? I saw you were running around. Did you listen to any of it?
Yes. When I was in the room where Katlego is.
Yeah.
I was listening to you there.
Okay. Do you think our show is good or bad? Be honest with me. Should we do this again tomorrow? I don't know, dude. Maybe I should go back to school with you. Should I call it a day here? What do you think? Was it okay?
It is okay. A little bit.
What can we do better?
I think you should take a day off.
I should take a day off.
Day off.
I might very well do that now. Now that I've got you saying that, I feel like I'm going to send you as my sick note. Kanekho, thank you very much for hanging out. How old are you now?
7.
7 years old.
Yes.
Wow. Then it's 7, then it's 8, then it's 9. Next thing you know, you're going to be running companies and doing crazy things. What do you want to be when you're big and strong?
I want to be a scientist.
Cool. That's very cool. Nice. Listen, dude, thanks so much for hanging out and for the feedback, and thank you for giving me the day off tomorrow. I'm gonna enjoy that. I'm gonna lay in, I'll binge watch some TV series, you know, maybe just really hit the Cartoon Network hard tomorrow.
Cartoon Network.
I love it.
So do I.
So good. What's your favorite show?
Teen Titans Go.
Oh,
it's the funniest show.
I like Johnny Bravo.
I don't know that.
Is it not on Cartoon Network anymore? Oh, no. He used to say, like, whoa, mama. It was funny. He used to say, whoa, mama. What's your favorite TV show now?
Cartoon Network.
Yeah. Okay. Nice one.
I used to like Disney XD.
It's for kids, though.
Disney XD.
You're old. You're too old now for Disney XD.
Actually, I like Disney XD and Cartoon Network. They should have a battle.
Battle it out.
A pop dead. Battle.
Okay, I'm going to write to them on my day off and tell them they need to do that. Listen, dude, thanks so much for hanging out. Now, I need you to help me here real quick. Usually I ask producer Kat and Jonathan to do this, but they never get it right. So I'm going to say, that's it, that's our show. And then I need you to say, the Gareth Cliff Show is next. Okay, should we practice it real quick? So I'm going to say, that's it, that's our show.
The Gareth Cliff Show
is next.
Is next.
Okay, so you got it perfect. We're going to do it perfectly now. Okay, producer Kat, do you want to give me a countdown here?
3, 2, 1.
That's it. That's our show.
The Gareth Cliff Show next.
Kelman on CliffCentral.com.